The line between desire and doom blurs in this visceral tale of sexual obsession gone terribly wrong. What begins as a drunken night out transforms into a nightmare that defies comprehension when two friends, Ben and Mickey, discover a mysterious sex advertisement. Their alcohol-clouded judgment leads them to a dilapidated house where an elderly man with unsettling black eyes introduces them to his blindfolded wife. The encounter seems merely uncomfortable until they notice something profoundly wrong about the old man watching from the corner, something inhuman lurking behind those void-like eyes. This single night of poor decision-making unleashes an entity that latches onto their sexual experiences like a parasite. What could be dismissed as drunken hallucination quickly proves to be something far more sinister. The entity, which they come to call the cuck, doesn't just observe their intimate moments, it feeds on them, growing stronger with each encounter, gradually gaining the power to control their actions in increasingly destructive ways. Why does this resonate so deeply? Perhaps because it taps into our primal fear that our most vulnerable moments, those times when we're literally and figuratively naked, might expose us to forces beyond our understanding. When we surrender to desire, what else might we be inviting in? Outside a bar after being ejected, Ben discovers a life-changing advertisement. Mickey hesitates, but Ben manipulates his insecurities. You need practice before Ava. What if you're rusty? Targeting Mickey's deepest fears about his romantic abilities. Their friendship thrives on toxic masculinity and peer pressure. Ben pushes boundaries while Mickey follows despite misgivings. This dynamic leads them to a dimly lit basement where horror awaits. The elderly man's proposition is disturbing. He wants them to have sex with his blindfolded wife while he watches. Neither wants to appear weak by refusing. Ben treats it as a joke, while Mickey follows reluctantly, yet finds himself strangely drawn to the woman. During the act, Mickey sees the old man's eyes, completely black, empty voids that absorb light. Not human eyes, but portals to unfathomable darkness. This moment begins their haunting. How often do we ignore our instincts, fearing judgment? The truly terrifying aspect isn't the supernatural, but how easily social pressure overrides our self-preservation. Mickey wakes with a pounding headache, haunted by the old man's eyes, a portal to damnation. At work, he fixates on Ava from the coffee shop while dismissing Ben's panicked call about seeing the cuck watching during intimacy with Olivia. Mickey's skepticism evaporates during his date with Ava. As they become intimate, disturbing images intrude. Rotting teeth, yellowed fingernails, those bottomless eyes. A smoky odor fills the room, and Mickey turns to find the cuck standing in his locked apartment, watching them with void-like eyes. Mickey's scream sends Ava fleeing in confusion. Alone, he realizes Ben wasn't hallucinating. This entity is real and has attached itself to him too. What should have been the start of something meaningful with Ava has instead bound him to something malevolent. Isn't this our deepest fear about intimacy? That in our most vulnerable moments, we might discover we're not alone after all? The entity's true nature emerges with terrifying clarity. It wants not just to watch, but to control and destroy. Ben reveals how during an encounter with a woman, the cuck forced him to burn his own penis with a lighter. It was my hand holding the lighter, but it wasn't me making the decision, Ben insists through tears. Mickey experiences this control firsthand after a nightmare about Bessie. While attempting to relieve his disturbing arousal, he suddenly finds himself before his bathroom mirror holding poultry shears near his testicles, his body moving without his conscious control. In the mirror, the cuck materializes. Black, empty eyes, decaying teeth in an unnaturally wide mouth, talon-like red fingernails, and mutilated genitals. Do it, the cuck commands. Cut them off. You don't deserve them. Mickey drops the shears with tremendous effort. The cuck vanishes with a chilling promise. Next time, you won't be strong enough. The horror transforms from external to internal. The true terror is losing control of your own body to something that wants you to destroy yourself. Desperate for answers, Mickey convinces Ben to return to the basement house. There they meet Teddy, a menacing caretaker who draws a gun upon seeing Mickey's concealed knife. The confrontation turns horrific when Teddy accidentally shoots Bessie in the head, blood spraying across the walls. In the chaos, Mickey repeatedly stabs Teddy before slashing his throat. The supernatural horror transforms into something more complex, ordinary people becoming monstrous under extraordinary circumstances. At Ben's apartment, blood-covered, they argue about their actions. "We're murderers now," Ben whispers, staring at his stained hands. Their dynamic shifts, Ben questioning their morality while Mickey turns coldly pragmatic. Later, Mickey scrubs blood from his fingernails, wondering if he'll ever feel clean. The cuck doesn't appear, but Mickey senses it waiting rather than watching. This violence marks a turning point. The entity hasn't just been observing their encounters, it's been witnessing their moral disintegration, perhaps orchestrating it. Mickey finds Ben dead in the bathtub, having mutilated himself with a kitchen knife. The jagged wound suggests he struggled against the compulsion even while carrying it out. The cuck appears more substantial now. "You're next," it announces, with black, empty eyes and a grotesque smile. The entity seems strengthened by Ben's death. At Humber Bridge, Mickey contemplates suicide, but realizes this might fulfill the cook's desires. He throws only the knife into the water, refusing to surrender. Mickey discovers the cook's weakness, complete sexual abstinence. Any arousal gives the entity influence. When Ava offers a second chance, Mickey must decline, despite his genuine feelings, sacrificing perhaps his only opportunity for real connection. What price would you pay when the very thing that makes life worth living becomes your greatest vulnerability? Mickey finds temporary salvation through a support group for sex abstainers. The group leader, Thomas, recognizes Mickey's deeper struggle. "Whatever's chasing you, it's more than just urges, isn't it? I've seen that look before, like you're being hunted." "Some demons can only be starved," Thomas advises. "Deny them what they feed on, and eventually they weaken. But loneliness is often the hardest part." Mickey embraces this approach. The cuck feeds on sexual energy, desire, fantasy, and intimacy. By denying these impulses, Mickey weakens the entity's hold. Yet the loneliness proves crushing. Mickey's life becomes a self-imposed prison. Is this truly living? Or has the cuck already won by forcing him to abandon a fundamental joy? The entity remains merely thwarted. The final scene shows the cuck examining a different advertisement. "Hungry boy wanted," seeking someone open-minded and willing to degrade others. This reveals the true horror. The entity isn't singular, but a perpetual predator, constantly adapting to lure new victims. Desire itself becomes dangerous, creating openings for malevolent forces that transform natural impulses from connection into instruments of our undoing.